Today is the fourth month, the fifth day in the year 2015. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And it's Resurrection Day. Christ is truly risen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And don't let the apostate Jews or anyone else lie to you. Christ is truly risen. As a matter of fact, I just spoke with him this morning. This resurrection season lecture is titled Conspiracies of the Jews. And we start out by quoting St. Paul. St. Paul said that he was serving the Lord in all humilities and tears and temptations which befell me by the conspiracies of the Jews. And St. Paul was a Jew himself. So what kind of Jews is he talking about? Unbelieving Jews, Christ-denying Jews, Jews that did not believe in Jesus Christ. And what conspiracies is he talking about? They're conspiracies against Jesus Christ and Christianity. And Catholicism is Christianity. That's the only Christianity. The Protestant religions and the Russian Orthodox Schismatic religions, they're not true Christianity. So the Jews, from the time they crucified Christ, have a conspiracy against the New Covenant, against the true Christ, against Christianity. And their conspiracy is to bring their Christ and their Messiah to power, because they didn't believe in Jesus Christ, and so therefore their conspiracy is to bring the Antichrist to power. And in order for that to happen, they have to control the whole world. So they conspire to control the whole world. They conspire with a whole bunch of lies. Remember our Lord said to the Jews that their father is a devil and they're liars. They conspire with their false claims of anti-Semitism. They conspire with their Holocaust hoax, turning themselves into victims, replacing Jesus Christ. And this lecture is going to go into a few of the conspiracies, and I'm going to deal mostly with two documentaries from two Christ-denying Jews, two apostate Jews, Mark Levin and his documentary titled The Protocols of Zion, and Yoav Shamir and his documentary titled Defamation. And in these documentaries, Mark Levin attempts to refute the fact that the apostate Jews control most of the world, the fact that the apostate Jews had a hand in 9/11, the fact that Jews killed Christ and are guilty of deicide, and promotes a false anti-Semitism. Yoav Shamir, in his documentary, investigates true and false claims of anti-Semitism, does not believe that apostate Jews plot to control the world, shows how Jews are obsessed with Hitler and Nazis in the Holocaust, is unsure about the method of Holocaust indoctrination among Jews because of its effect on them, its negative effect, and exposes some aspects of Zionist Jews' oppression of the Palestinians. Yoav is less dishonest than Mark, and he seems to me to have more goodwill. But I pray for both of these men, too. Even though I'm exposing some of the truths and some of the lies they have in their documentaries, I pray for their conversion, too, that they may get and hear this and listen to the truth. So the purpose of this lecture is to educate Catholics and to convert all non-Catholics, both Jews and Gentiles, and especially Yoav Shamir and Mark Levin. We start out with the fact that everybody really knows it, but most people are afraid to say it, that the Jews control most of the world. That is no surprise to anybody who has eyes, ears, common sense, unless they're a liar. We will go to a clip from Yoav Shamir's Defamation.
Okay. You know what I'm making the film about?
No.
About anti-Semitism.
Anti-Semitism, what does that mean?
It means when people hate the Jewish people.
No way, man. Jewish people control the world.
Yeah?
Of course.
All right, now, our Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the Jews bringing the Antichrist to power. And John 5:43, when he's talking to the Jews that did not believe in him, and he says, I come in the name of the Father, and you receive me not. If another comes in his name, him you will receive. He says, you will receive another Christ, who's going to be the Antichrist, because you rejected me, the true Christ. So Jesus Christ is prophesying to the Jews right there, you're going to be bringing the Antichrist to power. St. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4, that the Antichrist is going to sit in the temple in Jerusalem, where he rules the whole world. Let no man deceive you by any means, unless there become a revolt first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and is lifted up above all that is called God or worshipped, So that he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself as if he were God. This is the Antichrist when he comes to power in the third temple in Jerusalem, ruling the whole world. Proving that the Jews have to control the world in preparation for the Antichrist. We read about that also in Apocalypse 13:5-8 about the Antichrist. And there was given him, the Antichrist, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given him over every tribe, nation, and tongue, over every nation. So the Jews control the world, prophesied by God, proved by the evidence before your very eyes. Even Winston Churchill prophesied that the Jews are going to be bringing Antichrist to power. And he was a Freemason and a Druid. And he was in their service. He should know. They paid him off with a lot of money to do their bidding during World War II. He was a very evil man. But hear what he says about the Jews. He said this in the Illustrated Sunday Herald on the second month in the eighth day in the year 1920. And he said, it may be that the same astounding Jewish race may at this present time be in the actual process of procuring another system of morals and philosophy as malevolent as Christianity was benevolent, which if not arrested would shatter irretrievably all that Christianity had rendered possible. It would almost seem as if the gospel of Christ and the gospel of Antichrist were destined to originate among the same people. Indeed, so. Because the Jews were chosen to be, it was God's only chosen race that he ever chose above all races. So the faithful Jews are most blessed above all. And the unfaithful Jews are most cursed above all. So it's the unfaithful Jews that are bringing the Antichrist to power. They're the main ones. They're not the only ones. The whole world that is not Catholic is doing the work of the Antichrist. The Jews are the ones that are on the top of the pyramid of evil. The Freemasons are right underneath that, and the Anglo-Saxon Protestants, and then the Russian Orthodox Schismatics, and Muslims, they're all mixed in there. They're all doing the bidding of the Antichrist. But the apostate Jews is on the top of that hierarchy, and he has a lot of people doing his work for him underneath, so you don't always see them up front on the TV set, or on the shows, or running some of these corporations, but there's power behind it. And the main power that the Jews have, in which they control the world, was money power. They came to power because they control the banking, whoever prints the money, because most people are greedy, they buy off the people with their financial and economic power, and by buying off the people, they buy off the governments, they buy off the politicians, and they own the armies. Now, one of the plots of the Jews, the most famous plots of the Jews that was uncovered in the late 19th century is called the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And this was discovered in the late 19th century and it was translated by Victor E. Marsden and made public in 1905. And this was God allowing this to happen, to come out into light, to prepare us for what the Jews are doing. It was a plot by the Jews themselves, written up, their master plan, one of their master plans to take over the world. It wasn't the only master plan. So even if you didn't have this, we have their other master plans from other apostate Jewish sources telling us about what they're doing and how they're doing it to come to power, going back to even the 15th century and the 14th century. We got plans. If you read my book, Woe to You Who Call Evil Good, I go into detail in all of this. But the big thing on the protocols is that everything that was written in it is coming to pass. Everything that the Jews said that they were going to do is coming to pass. And you got to realize that God Almighty himself gave Satan the permission to come to power and bring his Antichrist to power and punishment for our sins. So they're not no great prophets that all these things are coming to pass and all their evil things are happening. A lot of people think they're blessed by God because they see, hey, look, the Jew prophesies he's going to come to power, he's going to go to Israel, and he's got all of this, he must be blessed. No, he's cursed. He's cursed because God Almighty gave Satan the power and the permission to allow Antichrist to come to power. And how else does Antichrist come to power unless he controls the whole world? So the people that are controlling the whole world today are of the Antichrist. They're not blessed by God. Now, they don't want you to know about the protocols. When it was revealed, they started a gigantic propaganda campaign and said it was a fraud. You know, so they try to say it's a fraud. Oh, guess what? It's not true. But one of the biggest proofs of it being true, first of all, is that everything in it was coming true. We read about this from Lord Sydenham. And this letter was from the Specter of the 26th day of the 8th month of 1921. And the Lord Sydenham kindly consented to its reproduction as one of the Britain's leaflets. And he said, the deadly accuracy of the forecasts in the protocols, most of which have since been fulfilled to the letter. Moreover, the principles they enumerate correspond closely with the recorded statement of Jewish authorities from other sources. What is most striking characteristic of the protocols? The answer is knowledge of a rare kind embracing the widest field. The solution to the mystery, as it is one, is to be found by ascertaining where this uncanny knowledge of which prophecies now literally fulfilled or based can be shown to reside. I am, sir, citing him. It uncanny? It's from the devil. And they get their power from the devil. The devil has power. If God's not protecting you, the devil will eat you up and spit you out. He's way smarter than the smartest man in the world. He's way stronger than the strongest man in the world. He has power. And if God's not protecting you, you're dead. But if God's protecting you, the devil has nothing on you. Because he has to go to God every time he wants to do something and get permission from God. And he gets his power to do it from God. So God is the one you should be afraid of. God is the one who should run to. And I'm trying to get you. And it's the Catholic God, no other God, the God we preach. As a warning to you people out there to get in the right camp. But he's powerful. And he has the power. And people are looking at this power and they think the Jews are blessed. The Christ denying Jews are blessed. Because they control the multimedia. They control the banking system. They control the economy. People are afraid to talk about them. They get you locked up in jail. And they control most of the countries in the world. Anybody who has a little common sense can see that. Now, if you want, and many other Jewish sources, by the way, talk about in the Talmud and Jewish newspapers and other protocols they have that are repeating what's in the protocols of Zion. Now, this, if you want to read more about this, you can see my book, Woe to You, Call Evil Good. I go into detail about this. I also have the protocols of Zion up on my website, the whole protocols, with a very good introduction that refutes the false claim of the Jewish claim that they're false. And you can see my Zionism conspiracy menu. Now, Mark Levin is the one who's trying to come out with the protocols of Zion and try to discredit it. But before I go on to some of his other clips, I want to first show you where he admitted that when Mark Levin read this book, he said, if this book is true, he says, this is the biggest Superman racist book I've ever seen. Let's go to the clip.
Now, if you read this book, and this is my first reaction when I read this was, wait a second. This isn't a book about vermin. This isn't a book about subhumans. This is a book about superhumans.
That's right, Mark, and I'm going to hold you to those words. The book is true. It is the big Superman racist book that ever existed. And Talmudic Jewish racism is the worst racism of all. And it's not just in the protocols, Mark. It's in the Talmud, which you should know. And I don't know, you said you were a bar mitzvah. Your father was an atheist, which is the worst kind of person in the world. Psalm 13:1, the fool saying to the heart, there is no God. That's the worst person in the world. I don't know how religious you are, but if you know about your Talmud or the Jewish Talmud, the racism is in there. It's not just in the protocols. So it's not just the protocols. And it's Superman racism. Like he said, the worst kind of racism, because what they believe in the Talmud is that Jews are human beings and Gentiles are goy cattle, literally animals without souls. That's what they believe. That is not true Judaism from the Old Covenant era. True Judaism loved and tried to convert the Gentiles. They killed the evil Gentiles when they were really wicked, but their purpose was to try to convert the Gentiles, bring them into the Israeli community, circumcise them, and treat them as Israelites. Always from the beginning, God wanted to convert Jews and Gentiles. Even when the Jews were the dominant force bringing God's religion to the world, he always wanted to convert Gentiles. This Talmud of Judaism is racist. It's to the highest degree. And because they think Gentiles have no souls and they're soulless beasts, you can break the Ten Commandments with them. You can do whatever you want with them because they're not even human beings. Now let's read about this. And some of we have another great book. I think it's up on my website, The Talmud Unmasked. Did I put that up on my website? You can read it. I'm going to quote from it a little bit. It says, what the Talmud teaches about Christians. Christians and all Gentiles, they say that they are idolaters, the worst kind of people, much worse than the Turks, murderers, fornicators, impure animals, like dirt, unworthy to be called men, beasts in human form, worthy of the name of beasts, cows, asses, pigs, dogs, worse than dogs, and they propagate after the manner of beasts. They have a diabolic origin, and their souls come from the devil, and return to the devil in hell after death, and and even the body of a dead Christian is nothing different than that of an animal. And it says, the teaching of the rabbi is, he who pours oil over a goy, and they call him goy cattle, goyim, and goy, the word of Gentile meaning cattle, and over the dead body is freed from punishment. This is true for an animal because it is not a man. But how can it be said that deploring a loyal over a goy, one is freed from punishment, since a goy is also a man? But this is not true. For it is written, you are a flock, and the flock of my pasture are men. You are thus called men, but the goyim are not called men. They really believe soulless beasts. Now, we're going to go to a clip here that talks about these Talmudic racism, which is in Mark Levin's film. And to his credit, even, he puts in some clips here that really indict him, and he doesn't make comments on it. But here is a clip from a TV miniseries by Hezbollah in 2003 called The Diaspora.
كما أن الإنسان يعلو الهيمنة كذلك اليهود هم أرفع من شعوب الأرض لأن نطفة الغرباء كنطفة الحمار المسيح المخلص عيسى لن يأتي ما لم تنقرض الشعوب غير اليهودية وتصبح السلطة من نصيب اليهودي.
We're now going to give testimony from a person who was a Talmudic Jew, and then he converted to Orthodox Christianity, which is really heretical and schismatic, so he's still not in the church. But he made a big move forward by at least rejecting his Talmudic Judaism and accepting, nominally at least, Jesus Christ. And he has a lot of really good testimonies about what it was like when he was a Jew and all their hypocrisies and all their lies. Now, he was raised in Talmudic Judaism. I'm a Jew too, but I was raised in nominal Catholicism. I was never raised in Talmudic Judaism. So I was, from my birth, I was a nominal Catholic. So he has even better testimonies from the inside about what's going on here. Now, I'm going to have links to his website over there for people to go to look at. His name's Nathaniel Kapner, and he's like on the top of my prayer list, one of the top of our because he does a lot of good work, even though he's still not in the church yet. So we pray for him. We've been in contact with him also. And he has a lot of good stuff, so I'm going to start putting links on here from him. But he's going to tell you about what the Jews really believe about Gentiles.
Growing up as a Jew, I saw a lot of double standards in play, if not to say downright hypocrisy. For instance, although we censored public figures for calling us Yids or Abes, we ourselves would call the Gentiles the Goyim. We call Gentile women Shikses, which comes from the Hebrew word Shagets, which means unclean animal. I recall when black civil rights leader Jesse Jackson once referred to New York City as Haimy Town, the entire Jewish community went into an uproar and forced Jackson to apologize. But behind closed doors, we called the blacks Schwarzes and Shooks. Speaking of the civil rights movement of the 60s, Jews were among the leaders such as Stanley Levinson, key advisor to Martin Luther King, agitating for desegregation. However, quite frankly, when it came to our own neighborhoods, we preferred segregation. In fact, many of my fellow Jews would have considered it a great shame to be so impoverished to be forced to move into a black neighborhood.
There's a testimony so from somebody who converted from Talmudic Judaism telling you what they believe about Gentiles. Now, this is way worse than Hitler's racism. Hitler's racism was not near as evil as this. His racism believed that the German race was superior, all right? But he didn't hate other races. He didn't think they were not humans. He believed they were human beings. He loved them. And even though he said some derogatory things like we even do about evil black people and you call them savages, or there's evil people in every race. And some races do have more evil people. But if you follow his teachings, Hitler wanted to bring every race up to German standards. He really did. He was a very fair when he came to that. He believed they had souls, and he did not want to annihilate them or exterminate them, and he wanted to bring them up to German standards.
German racialism has been deliberately distorted. It was concerned with making the German race strong and healthy in every way. Hitler was not interested in having millions of degenerates. Today one finds rampant alcohol and drug addiction everywhere. Hitler cared that German families be healthy, cared that they raise healthy children for the renewal of a healthy nation. German racialism meant rediscovering the creative values of their own race, rediscovering their culture. It was a search for excellence, a noble idea. National Socialist racialism was not against the other races. It aimed at defending and improving its race and wished that all other races did the same for themselves. That was demonstrated when the Waffen-SS enlarged its rank to include 60,000 Islamic SS. The Waffen-SS respected their way of life, their customs. Each Islamic SS battalion had an imam. Each company had a mullah. It was our common wish that their qualities found their highest expression. This was our racialism. National Socialist racialism was loyal to the German race and totally respected all other races. The young European volunteers had observed two things. First, that Hitler was the only leader who was capable of building Europe, and secondly, that Hitler, and Hitler alone, could defeat the world threat of communism. The communists never aimed at serving the interests of Russia.
So this Jewish, the stuff they try to pin on Hitler, they're the ones that are guilty of it. This Talmudic racism in the protocols, which Mark Levin even said is a Superman race, is the worst of all. And here they are pointing fingers at other people. Now you can read about, in my book, What Do You Call Evil Good? Hitler's racism pales in comparison to Talmudic and Zionist Jewish racism. Now I'm not saying that everything Hitler did was good, even though he did do many good things. From the information I have, and provided the information is correct, Hitler was a nominal Catholic. He was a nominal Catholic because he professed to be Catholic, but was an idolater and heretic nevertheless, just as the apostate anti-popes were. Here is a list of his sins. He was an idolater for glorifying German mythology. He liked Richard Wagner and his works, many of which glorified German mythology. Hitler got this idolatry from the apostate anti-popes and other nominal Catholics, as many so-called Catholic churches throughout Europe are desecrated with idols and false gods of mythology. 2. He was a heretic for believing in a heresy of theistic evolution, which he got from the apostate antipopes and other nominal Catholics. This is what helped form his heretical beliefs about race, in which he placed race, blood, and deeds over the Catholic faith, and the body over the soul. 3. He was a heretic for believing in a heresy of euthanasia. It is said that when he was condemned for allowing euthanasia, he stopped it. 4. He was a heretic for believing in the heresy that the God of the Old Testament was a brutal, unjust torturer and evil and cruel for requiring animal sacrifices. 5. He was a heretic for transferring apostate Jews into Palestine and promising them a homeland there. It is heresy because a Catholic God banned unbelieving Jews from possessing Israel because of their denial of Jesus Christ. 6. He was immoral for allowing immodest statues and for allowing women to dress immodestly while swimming and during sports. However, he rightly condemned and eradicated pornography, fornication, and sexual perversions. However, most of the sins that the apostate Jews and others attribute to Hitler are either lies or not sins at all. Some of the lies they tell about Hitler are that he was in the occult and thus a Satanist, and that he was a homosexual and fornicator and contracted venereal disease. His true medical records show that he did not have venereal disease. Incredible evidence shows that Hitler was chaste. Hitler was a lesser evil of all the rulers in the world during his day. Hence, all Catholics and men of goodwill were obliged to back Hitler in Germany and the other Axis powers of Italy, Vichy France, and Japan, against the much greater evil of the Allied powers of the United States of America, England, Free France, and the Soviet Union, which consisted of apostate Jews, Freemasons, communists, and democracies, and were extremely and grossly immoral. Now, when Mark Levin was making the Protocols of Zion, he tried to get some of his Jewish buddies, his apostate Jewish buddies, to help him, and a lot of them were warning him not to do it. And they were warning him not to do it because even negative publicity is publicity. And if people get even a negative publicity about the Protocols and it's out there in the movie theaters, it'll get them curious to get the book and read it. And then when they read it, they're going to say, I don't care what so-and-so said or so-and-so said. This is true. This is happening. So he was warned, you know. This one Jew here warns him not to do it. We're going to, from his movie, the Protocols, he puts it on here. This old rabbi.
This is 33 first and then 56.
Hitler came in 33, I think.
Hmm.
This is printed in England.
when I first told you I was going to do something looking at this new anti-Semitism and the protocols, you said you don't know what you're messing with. What did you mean?
I don't want to talk about that because, you know, it's not a simple thing. So don't do it.
Because he knows it's going to draw attention to the Jewish plots. And now he went to some of his Hollywood buddies that were in Hollywood, his apostate Jewish buddies, and in his clip you're going to get another thing where he admits that they control Hollywood on top of it, the media. Mark Levin admits that. And he wants to try to get them to help him, and he can't get nobody to help him. None of his Jewish buddies in Hollywood.
The Jews played a major role in creating modern media, especially the movie business. But right now, it seems like it's almost taboo to discuss the role of the Jews in Hollywood.
Larry David? Hey, thank you for getting back to me. Norman Lear gave me your number. Why? Well, to be frank, he said you're the hottest Jew in Hollywood. And if I wanted to talk to anybody, I needed to speak to you. The only thing you know about is yourself. The only thing you know how to talk about is yourself. Well, let's start there. You're Jewish. You're in Hollywood. You're circumcised. Rob Reiner, why do you want me? All right, I'll call Rob Reiner. Rob Reiner, thank you for taking my call. I was trying to arrange a group of Jews in the entertainment industry to kind of get together the night before Gibson's Passion opens, but to talk about a lot of other issues. You're busy. Yeah, I know it's pilot season. Call Norman? Wait, I started with Norman. Norman had me call Larry. Larry had me call you. I feel like I'm doing the telephone horror here. I sometimes feel the Jews are hiding. They're afraid to come out. And the Christians are all waiting with open arms.
That's right, Mark. We are. For you to come into the true church of Catholicism. And why are they hiding? Because they got a whole bunch of big lies to hide. They've been doing a lot of nasty, evil things, and that's why they're hiding. This is a religion of darkness when you hide the way they do, and when you gotta lie the way they do, and when you gotta do the things they do, blowing up their own people, blowing up other people to make excuses for... They do things that are... They tell such humongous lies. That's why they're hiding. And the true Christianity, Mark, by the way, is with us in the Catholicism. It's not even the Protestant groups. Now, he goes to another group of Jews. They really, I mean, they're winners. This is the old, he asked them about the protocols, you know, whether they heard of it. They go, never heard of it. There's not one person in the world, I don't think, unless I'm a Jew especially, that never, and these are like, I think, Orthodox Jews or something. And their idea is like, protocols, never heard of it. What is that? You know, watch, we'll go to the clip right here.
I want to know if anyone has ever heard of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. You never heard of it?
Some have called it the mother of all conspiracy theories.
There you go. There's the Jews lying right there. All of them shaking their head. Never heard of it. What are you talking about? What are you living in, another planet? You're going to see later on how all the street kids in New York and in other areas, they know about the protocols. They haven't even gone to college. I mean, the people all over the world, these guys don't know it. They know it. They're lying. They don't want to talk about it. Now, they're afraid because any publicity, even negative publicity, is publicity. However, when Mark did this movie and we looked at it, we said he's actually promoting the protocols. He's not even really refuting it. It was weird. I thought, like, is this guy doing this on purpose or what? Because he quotes from the protocols. And he never refutes after he quotes them. If you watch the whole thing, there's no any refutation of any of the quotes. We picked out three of the protocol quotes through the movie. He has them sprinkled in there, and he just quotes them, and he never tries to refute them. So he's actually really promoting them, so that they're genuine. Here, that's what it comes out like.
Protocol number 11. God has given us, his chosen people, the power to scatter, and what to all appears to be our weakness has proved to be our strength, and has now brought us to the threshold of universal rule. It is clear, therefore, that nature herself intended us to rule and guide the world. Protocol number 14. When we become rulers, we will not tolerate the existence of any other religion except our own, which proclaims one God, with whom our fate is bound up because we are the chosen people, and our fate has determined the fate of the world. Protocol number 17. We have already taken care to discredit the clergy of the Goyes and thus to undermine their function. The King of Israel will become the real Pope of the universe.
Then he quotes from an Egyptian TV series, 2002, called The Night Without a Horse, and he quotes about where they're quoting about how the Jews control the world and so forth and the protocols.
كنت السجنيس قايت لي ان في جزء من التجارب دي اتحقق. الخطه الصهيونيه دي طبعا مرسومه بدقه عشان ينشروا بين شباب العالم المجون والخمور والفجور واللهو والفساد.
Is that not happening in the world today? And who's promoting it? Who controls the media? Who controls the judicial system? Who controls the biggest armies in the world? The apostate Jews, and they're doing this. They're promoting this. You notice he said the word they're homo, homosexuality. I think he interpreted it as abominations or something. But he quotes this, and he doesn't really even make an attempt to refute it. As a matter of fact, he's interviewing an apostate Jew, and this Jew comes out and admits that they do try to control the whole world, that they're the master race, and they're going to smash everybody in the end, and they're going to be one standing on top of the heap when it's all over. And he quotes, here it is, the interview from this Jew that Mark Levin interviews.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right, in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real. And that's very upsetting to people.
Well, you better start with your own religion, because that's included in one of the false religions. You want to knock down the false religions? I got no problem with it because I don't like false religions neither. But your religion is one of the biggest, worst, evilest, most powerful false religions, Talmudic Judaism, which he thinks he has a true religion. Catholicism is the only true religion. You see, this really is a battle. Everything in this world is about religion. Even an atheist is religious about his beliefs that there's no God. That's his combat. Catholicism, true Catholics say, we're the true chosen people of God. We're going to rule the world in the end after Christ comes. Muslims believe they're going to rule the world. Talmudic Jews believe they're going to rule the world. So let the battle begin. And you're going to find that at the end, there's going to be one people standing, and that's Catholics. And he has to realize that his religion is not just one of the many false religions. It's a real filthy, lying one. It's one of the more despicable false religions. Even they say they believe in one God. You know who that God is? Satan. Yeah? Remember the Lord said even in the devils even believe in God and tremble. But Satan himself is the one who presents himself to them as the one God. So believing in one God's not enough. It's who's the one God you're believing in. And they look at Christians like we worship three gods because we believe in the Holy Trinity. They don't listen to what we say to them a billion times, a million times, quadrillion times. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God and three divine persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Even though we say each one is God, there's still only one God. That's what we believe about the Holy Trinity. We don't believe there's three gods. Get that into your heads. And even the Muslims accuse us of worshiping multiple gods. Now, so there he quotes from. Now, what this kid just said, I'm going to quote you from the Protocols of Zion, Protocol number 17, paragraph 2. We have long past taken care to discredit the Christian religion. As to other religions, we shall have still less difficulty in dealing with them. The King of the Jews will be the real Pope of the universe, the Patriarch of the International Church, but in the meantime, we are re-educating the youth in new traditional religions and afterwards in ours, Talmudic Judaism, in which the Antichrist sits in the Temple of Jerusalem, rebuilt, ruling the world, worshipped as if he's God. We read in the Jewish World, on the ninth day, 12th, second month, 1883, the great ideal of Judaism is that the whole world should be imbued with Jewish teachings, and that in the universal brotherhood of nations, a greater Judaism, in fact, all separate races and religions shall disappear. This kid is just repeating. And it's not just in the protocols. This was in the Jewish World. This is from an apostate Jew, Bernard Lazar, in his book, Anti-Semitism. The Jew is not satisfied with de-Christianizing. He Judaizes. He destroys Catholic or Protestant faith. He provokes indifference, but he imposes his idea of the world, of morals, and of life upon those whose faith he ruins. He works at all ages. He works at his age-old task, the annihilation of the religion of Christ. That's a Jew telling you. And another source. It's not, Mark, it's not just the protocols. It's all over the place. Open your eyes and read the sources from these people. Look at the facts that are before you. Now, to their credit, both Mark Levin and Yoav Shamir allow others to voice their opinions on the protocols and how they're genuine, and how the Jews control most of the world. They actually let these people make their statements. They don't particularly believe in it, but they allow them to voice their opinions. And some of these quotes I'm going to go to, you're going to realize a lot of these people are prisoners and street kids. Why is that? Why are street kids and prisoners more apt to tell the truth than maybe a college person or somebody who's highly in a high position in the world? Because they have nothing to lose. And when you have nothing to lose, you're more apt to tell the truth and not worry about being persecuted because they can't take nothing much from you. That's the problem with this world. People have a lot of money. They have cozy positions, comfortable jobs. That's how the devil and the Jew tempts you, with his money. And you want to put your people in school. You want to have your fancy home. You want to have your fancy cars. You want to have your fancy job. And if you don't do the Jew's bidding, and everybody knows it, you lose your job. You lose your money. And so most people, even though they know the Jews are wrong, even though they know what the truth is, they hide it, they lie, they believe the lie, and pretty soon, sooner or later, they end up actually believing the lie. It's because they don't want to seem like cowards. St. Paul teaches that this is the operation of error curse that God places liars under because they believe not the love of the truth. We read about this in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 to 11. Antichrist, whose coming is according to the power of Satan, and all lying signs and wonders, and all seduction of iniquity to them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. Therefore, God will send them the operation of error to believe lying, because they have not believed the truth. But you're going to see how. This is our Lord said, prostitutes and tax collectors enter the kingdom of God before self-righteous or more highly elevated people because they got nothing to lose and they're more apt to know about lowly conditions that they're living in. They're not the only ones that testify, but you will realize that if any college person testifies hard enough against the Jews like Norman Finkelstein did, you'll lose your job and your tenure. You'll no longer be a college kid. You're now demoted to a street kid. They'll kick you out in the street. The more you expose the Jews, the more they're going to throw you out. Remember, no one buys your cells unless you have the mark of the beast and does his bidding. So anybody that goes against them is going to lose stuff. But street kids and prisoners and people like that, they don't have nothing to lose. So they're not afraid to tell the truth. They're more apt to tell the truth in these areas. We're now going to go to a quote from Mark Levin's protocols where he interviews prisoners and he allows them to voice their opinions about the protocols designed and Jews' control of the world. And he's interviewing prisoners from Trenton State Prison in Trenton, New Jersey.
Awesome, Mercy 1100. Nine inmates, one camera crew, one civilian, two officers, and a 1E perimeter. Copy.
Where did you first become familiar with the protocols of the Elders of Zion?
In prison.
How did it read to you? I mean, what did
it was very believable. It was like, okay, finally I got the proof. This is it. I finally can prove that, you know, that these Jews are really trying to take over the world.
I've noticed a lot of the policies that are being made today, the neoconservatives, they fall right in line, almost in sync with what was said in the protocols of Zion.
When you grow up black in America, you've heard that Jews did this and Jews have done that all your life.
See? Not so stupid, huh? They're less unwise than these college people that are higher up. They're not afraid to tell the truth. They can see it. Now, what? But not now. Years ago, even some people that were in high positions were able to talk more about the Jews. Not too, even Henry Ford had a very lot of good statements against the Jews. Nowadays, you do it, you're really dead. That's how far we accelerated with the Jews coming to world domination in the media and the press and the prison systems and the armies. Here's what Henry Ford said about the protocols. The only statement I care to make about the protocols is that they fit in with what is going on. They are 16 years old, and they have fitted the world situation up to this time. They fit it now. That's Henry Ford saying that. Now, Mark Levin, here he interviews some street kids.
Nobody wants to help us, you know. They're always just like you stereotypes, you know what I'm saying? That's it. He's in the gutter. Leave him in the gutter. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just tired of being stereotyped by them. You know what I mean? Zionist pigs.
When you say Zionist pigs, who are the Zionist pigs?
The Zionist pigs are all the Masons, you know what I'm saying, which is like President Bush. From George Washington to President Bush, they all Mason. They basically run the world.
I'm not saying Jews don't have power and that they don't have influence. But if you
who
think...
Who runs the Senate? Jews! Who's the House of Representatives? Jews!
There you go. Not so dumb, these kids, huh? Now, maybe if you put a white collar on a kid and put him in a fancy job, he wouldn't be saying that. You better believe he won't be saying that because he wouldn't have the job. Now, we're going to also, Yoav Shamir allows some street kids in New York. These are black kids, the black men. And he allows them to voice their opinion, which is very telling here. And we'll go to the clip from his documentary, Defamation.
Actually, they're part of the mind control system that they use through television and the media. The higher ups.
That right there is in a book called The Elders of the Protocols of Zion. That was in like 1898. They was talking about how the Jews will use TV and media and propaganda to control the world and take over the world. So little things like that just, oh man. Who wrote that book? I'm trying, it was a Russian who wrote that book too. Elder, whoever's watching this, Elders of the Protocol of Zion, read it. It gives you an idea of the blueprint to take over the world. It is.
It's implementing it right now.
It's actually, when you read it, they say it's false. But when you read it, you see everything coming to light.
Now, you'll see later on, Yoav Shamir doesn't believe in the protocols. We're going to run another clip continuing off of that clip. But here you have these kids. It's like an advertisement for the protocols. When you're done, he even himself advertising for it here. But Yoav Shamir is more open to the possibility that these things could be true. Mark Levin is not as open. But he still also presents a lot of positive clips. And a proof of this, Yoav Shamir, some of his goodwill too is, which I think he has some goodwill, has more better than Mark Levin. He allows his own grandmother, who is an Israeli, living over in Israel, a Jew. She's still an apostate Jew, an unbelieving Jew, but she's not as evil as the American greedy bastard Jews or the liberal Jews. And he lets her testify as to how evil a lot of these Jews are. He allows his own grandmother to testify. And we'll go to the clip right now, and you'll see.
This is my grandmother. She's over 90 years old, and she lives in Jerusalem. I decided to tell her about the film I am making.
Ani Israeli, ken? Ani af pam lo hergashti ma ze antishemiyut. Az ani shoel ma ze be'atzem, ani ba ve'menaseh la'vin ma ze.
Nu, az akshav ata yoda ma ze?
Ani lomed.
אתה לומד.
אבל הם אומרים שיש שם הרבה אנטישמים.
איפה שמה? אז למה הם לא באים אם יש אנטישמים? אם יש אנטישמים, למה הם לא באים? עד שירגו אותם? מה?
אז למה באמת הם לא באים?
למה הם לא באים? הם אוהבים כסף, יהודי אוהב כסף. יהודי זה רמאי. יהודי זה רמאי. והוא עושה שם כסף, למה לא לבוא פה ולעבוד, אם הוא יכול לעשות שם כסף בלי לעבוד? למה לא?
שם הם לא עובדים?
הם לא עובדים, זה שאני אומרת. שם יש להם כסף בלי לעבוד, פה אם יעבדו, יצטרכו לעבוד.
איך יש להם כסף בלי לעבוד?
אה?
איך יש להם כסף בלי לעבוד?
איך עשו כסף? ריבית, מלווה בריבית, ובתי מרזח פה, ויין פה, וזה שם. זה הם יודעים, יהודי יודע את הפוילשטיק האלה. יהודי יודע את הפוילשטיק האלה. אני אומרת לך, אני היהודי האמיתית.
Now she has a she has more goodwill than the other Jews. There's more hope for her to convert. I have to pray for his grandmother too. She's got more goodwill than the other people. She's nailing the these liberal American greedy Jews, and she's for what they are. And she's and he put it on her to his credit. And you notice what he said to her. He said to her, "You sound like an anti-Semite," which is going to lead us into the next section of this lecture. We're now going to go to a clip by Yoav Shamir from his defamation, and he was born in Israel and raised in Israel. So, and he wants to, and he's telling you how he wants to investigate what is this claim of anti-Semitism all about. And so he's, this is was the main purpose of his video, and he goes to none other. He ha, if you want to talk about anti-Semitism and these true and false claims, you got to go to Abraham the Fox Man. He's the head one, with the head of the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, and he's the number one gangster that promotes false claims of anti-Semitism. He's accusing everybody of anti-Semitism if they criticize anything that a Jew does. So this is a really big bad guy. So Yoav Shamir is going and he wants to cooperate and he wants to interview and he wants to work with Abraham Foxman to find out what's going on with these claims of anti-Semitism. What's interesting about the whole thing is this is another thing where Abraham Foxman was excited. He gave him permission to interview him and to go into his records and to talk with him. And he thought that this was really going to be good for himself. But it turned out when the whole documentary was done, it really wasn't good for Abraham Foxman, because this kid Yoav Shamir has some honesty in him. He's not as bad-willed as other people, and he will come out and tell you when he the truth about him. He says, "Well, that's not anti-Semitism." If he criticizes this, he's wrong himself on certain claims. He'll say that it's anti-Semitism when you say the Jews control the world. He'll say that. He's not 100% clear himself. I'm not making excuses 100% for him, but he has some honesty, and which will come out, and he's trying to figure out what is really anti-Semitism. So Abraham Foxman takes him into his bosom and lets him work and lets him into his office, and I guarantee at the end of this documentary when it was put out, Abe Foxman regrets that he ever let this guy come in here. But you'll see when we go to the clip right here. When I'm talking about in the beginning of the clip, just take note that this Yoav Shamir talks about too how in Israel they're obsessed with the Nazis, the Holocaust, and anti-Semitism.
Being an Israeli Jew, I have never experienced anti-Semitism myself, but it's a phrase that always seems to be in the air. Three words seem to appear over and over again. Holocaust, Nazi, anti-Semitism. Living in a country that was founded to give the Jewish people a safe place to live in, I found this really disturbing. So I decided I wanted to learn more about the subject.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Abe Foxman, the head and face of the Anti-Defamation League.
I have been lucky to have survived by miracle the Shoah.
Very nice, very good.
The ADL is the biggest organization in the world fighting anti-Semitism, with a budget of over $70 million a year. Abe Foxman has become the symbol of the fight against anti-Semitism in the world today. I thought he might be able to open some doors for me. So I asked him to help me out with my film. Abe Foxman was very welcoming. I think he liked the idea of an Israeli filmmaker taking an interest in anti-Semitism. And he agreed to give me unprecedented access to his organization, which has its headquarters in Manhattan.
He's doing a film, which I still don't understand what it is, but we said yes, yes, and yes. You're on the record.
Got it.
Okay?
I'll be good.
Okay? He's not going to hurt us.
Great.
On the other hand, he's a good journalist, okay?
I'll take
he
care
wants to get, you know, good stuff.
I'll take care.
Well, actually, Yoav Shamir did hurt him when you look at this whole thing, because Yoav Shamir was less dishonest than Abe Foxman. He had some honesty in him and some goodwill. When you look at the whole clip, I'm only giving you pieces of it, and he does expose where Abraham Foxman is and he has allows people to voice their opinion against Foxman. So I'm sure when this thing was all done, Foxman was not too happy with the documentary. As a matter of fact, before completing this lecture, I found a statement from Abraham Foxman that proves this, and hence I've added it here. The following quote is from the ADL statement on defamation by Abraham Foxman. After seeing defamation, we can only say the film fell far short of our expectation. Rather than document anti-Semites and their hatred of Jews and the Jewish state of Israel, the film belittles the issue and portrays the work of the ADL and that of his own country as inconsequential. There was so much more Shamir could have and should have done. Defamation is neither enlightening nor edifying nor compelling. It distorts the prevalence and impact of anti-Semitism and cheapens the Holocaust. It is Shamir's perverse personal political perspective and a missed opportunity to document a serious and important issue, end quote. That's Foxman, so as we expected, right? Now here is Yoav Shamir's reply to Foxman from an article called Yoav Shamir Draws Flack from Defamation by SF Gate. Abe Foxman, the head of the Anti-Defamation League and one of the world's most influential Jewish figures, distrusts Yoav Shamir. Shamir was inspired to make Defamation after a Jewish film critic suggested that Shamir was an anti-Semite. The reviewer complained that Shamir's documentary Checkpoint, which details Israeli checkpoints in Palestine territories, was too critical of Israel because he criticized the way the Jews were treating the Palestinians at the checkpoints. They call them anti-Semite. Not surprisingly, though, Foxman has denounced the film in May after Defamation screened at Tribeca Film Festival in New York. The ADL issued a statement that said Shamir's film belittles the issue of anti-Semitism and cheapens the Holocaust. It is Shamir's perverse personal political perspective and a missed opportunity to document a serious important issue, end quote. Shamir says that the issue, anti-Semitism, is important, but that it's also important to see how charges of anti-Semitism are unfairly applied to incidents that are ambiguous, and to people like Shamir who might be critical of one aspect of Israeli foreign policy. Shamir says that he started the film with an open mind about the issue, but that his reporting persuaded him to frame the subject the way he did. He says that film festival audiences have both applauded and derided defamation. Shamir's humor is evident when asked if filmgoers have ever labeled him a self-hating Jew. And he said, I don't know. I like myself. I'm a self-loving Jew. That was a great answer. But a Christian calling an anti-Semite because he criticized some things, that evil things that Jews were doing. Now, the justice of God and righteousness of God is always seen, at least by Catholics. And in this case, Abraham Foxman proves to be worse, way worse, even more evil than a conservative apostate Jew. Foxman's a liberal apostate Jew. He's way worse. And God put him under a special, extra special curse, which a lot of people are under, not just him. One proof of this is that Abraham Foxman consented to his son Ariel's marriage. Now you may say, what's wrong with the father consenting to his son's marriage? Well, there's one big problem with this marriage, because his son married a man and not a woman. Hey. Something you would agree, something pretty bad on that one, huh? Right? He married Brandon Hernandez, his son, and Abraham Foxman consented. We're going to read from an article, Abe Foxman Kevels as Son Ties Knot by Uriel Hellman. Brendan Cardet Hernandez, a Cuban-American who grew up in Orlando, Florida, didn't know the Yiddish term for soulmate, basher. But when he bumped into Ariel Foxman on the Uptown A train in March 2012. But it's clear now that that one subway trip was an express route to destiny. In the New York Times Vow column Sunday, Abraham Foxman, the national director of the Anti-Defamation League, kevels about the recent wedding of his son, Ariel, to Cardez Hernandez. He says, the marriage brings together things that were less easy to understand even 10 years ago, the elder Foxman said in the Times profile of the same-sex couple. He says, now it's just so normal, comfortable, and loving. That's Abraham Foxman. He's the guy these Jews are all listening to, this perverted pig. In his toast at the wedding, Foxman thanked the grooms for the opportunity to be sensitive, and he thanked Mr. Cardet Hernandez for converting, reminding him that the Jewish people had lost so many in the past. He also requested grandchildren. Grandchildren? How's that going to happen? Unless they adopt them? or to get some female. So he's even for home. Not only is he for homosexual marriages, he's for them raising kids, and he's going to call them his grandchildren. God is right. See how God punished this bastard, this monkey, this monkey, this fox, this evil bastard. And wait, we go on, and it says according to the Times, Brandon Cardex Hernandez, 29, who studied with a rabbi for several months before he converted to Judaism, is a principal of the Urban Assembly Bronx Academy of Letters. Converted to Judaism? I'd like to ask you, what type of Judaism? We know true Judaism doesn't condone homosexuality at all, but not even Talmudic Judaism. So what Judaism does he belong to that condones homosexuals getting married? He belongs to what we call the Reform or the Liberal Judaism. Not even the Orthodox Jews should have anything to do with this guy. This guy's more evil than even a conservative apostate Jew. And this is just proof of one of the major curses God put this bastard under. What they consider anti-Semitism, they call it the new anti-Semitism, is anytime you criticize a Jew, it doesn't matter what he does. See, real anti-Semitism, the real sin of anti-Semitism, which is truly racism, is if you hate a Jew because he's a Jew, simply because of his race. That is a mortal sin. That is racism. First of all, Catholics are not allowed to hate any person living, let alone hate a whole race. You're supposed to love all men. Even the most evil men on the face of the earth, you're supposed to love them and pray for them, although you can abhor them. We do abhor them. We can even kill them if we have to, because there's times when you have to kill people. I even use an example that if I had to kill an obstinate Jew who was really like committed crimes against the state, horrible crimes, and he got the death, and I had to kill him myself, I would love him up until the minute while I'm killing him. I would even love him while I'm killing him. And I'm going to prove it. So I get a knife and I go to kill the Jew, right? Maybe I'm going to kill him slowly, torture him a little bit. So I stab him over here and he starts screaming. Then he stops and says, I repent, I convert, I want to become Catholic, forgive me. I would take the knife out, I would heal him up, and I would come into the church and give him a chance, you see, because I love him, even when I'm killing him. But after he's dead and I kill him, then I can hate him because he died as an apostate Jew and he's in hell. So you love people as long as they're alive. It's true. If you were to kill somebody last minute, they repent and convert, let them confess and let them come in. But anti-Semitism, which is the true racism, is not what they're talking about today. What they call anti-Semitism, their false claim is, you cannot criticize a Jew for anything he does. A Jew can rape a bunch of little babies out there in the street in front of everybody, and you say a Jew did it, that you're an anti-Semite. A Jew can rob a bank, and you see a Jew robbed a bank, you're an anti-Semite. A Jew comes out and he rapes somebody, you're an anti-Semite. Anytime you criticize something that a Jew does that is evil, that is sinful, even on the natural law, they accuse you of being an anti-Semite. That the Jew lied, they set up the 9/11 with Larry the Lizard, blew the towers down, you're an anti-Semite. No, I'm stating a fact. And it comes down to the idea that if you believe that, then you'd have to really say that there's no Jew is evil at all. This goes back to Nostra Aetate and the Apostate Second Vatican Council that said no Jew should be looked upon as evil. That's what it says. It's a racist document. I go into that in detail in my book. I'm not going to go into too much here. But this is common sense to people that you can criticize anybody of any other race. The minute you criticize a Jew for doing something evil, sinful, or wrong, you're an anti-Semite. And that's how they get you to shut up from exposing the conspiracies and the plots of the Jews. They get you to shut up because if you don't, they label you with that smear, anti-Semitism, then everybody runs from you, you lose your job, they look at you as a racist. And this is not true. And in this section, we're going to show you how they use that false claim of anti-Semitism to shut people up from criticizing them where criticism is due. Now, they talk about this, the Jews and the protocols, Elders of Zion, Protocol 9. Nowadays, if any states raise a protest against us, it is only pro forma, at our discretion, and by our direction, for their anti-Semitism is indispensable to us for the management of lesser brethren. What they're saying here, too, is when they criticize you of doing something because you criticized a Jew, and I don't hate any person living today, no one can ever pin that on me. They tried to, though. They tried to call us KKKers and haters. They tried to do this to us already. And what they do is they like to have real anti-Semites that hate Jews because of their race. Skinheads that are really, say, Jews are animals, they're soulless beasts, these Jews are pigs, and they put those people up on TV and they make you think everybody's like them. So that's what they're saying. These people are indispensable to us because we use them and then we smear everybody else with the same brush. and make them look like they're hating people because of their race. If I hated Jews, I'd have to hate myself because I'm a Jew. And they would call me a self-hating Jew. This is what they call a Jew who criticizes another Jew and exposes their plots. They call him a self-hating Jew. And so this is it's a very big weapon that they use to keep people silent. It's like a hate crime. And they'll silence you down, you'll lose your job and everything. Now, they give evidence on this. And again, to their credit, they allow these people to testify to this. But you're going to see how like Yoav was saying to his mother, but that's anti-Semitism. But how could it be? All she's saying is there's Jews in America that are crooks. If his mother hated all Jews, then she'd be hating herself. He should think about that, Yoav. Think about that. And we were in contact with him too, and we pray for his conversion too. But here's him interviewing again these black kids you just heard. And because he just said that the protocols, it's coming true, and the Jews control the world, he accuses them of being anti-Semites because of that.
The Protocols of the Elders of Zion describes how a group of old Jews sit around the table plotting conspiracies to take over the world.
But that's considered to be like a really anti-Semitic book, you know.
It is anti-Semitic to a certain... It's really not anti-Semitic.
It's not anti-Semitic.
This is like wrong. People keep saying things and they really don't know what they're talking about.
If somebody's telling the truth about something, why does it have to be anti-Semitic? Because it's not in the Jewish people's favor. It's not anti-Semitic. It's just somebody being honest. Facts is what it is. Bottom line.
No, but just to put things straight, like this book, the books of the elderly of Zion.
They said it was written by a Jew, actually. So it's really not anti-Semitic.
But this book was like kind of a fraud, you know?
Yeah, they say it's a fraud.
There wasn't such a thing, you know, it's like a bunch of people sitting together running the world, you know? This is kind of bullshit,
but
you know?
But you said that's bullshit?
That is not true. No, this is like a false book.
That's not bullshit as far as like a bunch of people sitting together running the world. The United Nations is a bunch of people sitting together running the world. So how could you say that's bullshit?
No, it's different, you know, because...
There's no difference.
You said some like pretty hard stuff about like you know Jewish people and stuff like that.
Hold on, let me finish.
I mean like, so maybe when they like see you guys on the street and they feel like afraid or they feel tension, there is something you know like.
That goes to what I was telling you before. They don't know us. They never took time to get to know us. She was telling you that they separate themselves from us.
They don't want to know us.
So when you don't want to get to know someone,
but
you would never...
You're trying to manipulate the conversation.
No, I'm just asking.
Because we told you we have no problem with them.
See? There you go. They're saying, we didn't tell you we hate Jews as a race. We're telling you, though, we abhor and we're very angry against the fact that Jews... certain Jews are controlling the world, right? And you see, Yoav pretends like there's no plot. How do you get everything to happen the way... First of all, everybody plots. Even Catholics plot. Every army plots. Every nation plots. Everybody conspires in the world for their own religious beliefs, for their own ideology. Everybody plots. Everybody conspires. And the ultimate conspiracy, looking at it from the religious perspective, is the true God, the Catholic God against Satan and those who follow him. So there is a plot. People are running the world. How else do you get the same news on every station at the same time and you have the same books in the same libraries and the same people are being fired for the same things unless there's a plot coming from one source, from one power, from one person that gives out the command and is followed? That's even common sense. And these wise black kids are a lot wiser than him even are saying, well, look at the United Nations. Literally a bunch of people in a building ruling the world. And these black kids even know it. They said it. The Jews even control are more powerful than the United Nations. And their object is to move everything over into Jerusalem when the Antichrist comes to power. Now, you notice these black kids made a very smart statement. He said, I said something that's true. I said that Jews control the world and the protocols are coming to pass. How does that mean I hate Jews? That's the truth. How could the truth be evil? If it's the truth, it can't be wrong. This is what Bishop Richard Williamson said. When they were interviewing, when he denied the Holocaust, he says, no way did people die in gas chambers during World War II. No Jews. Very wisely, very smartly, and very courageously he said that. And he was accused because he said a fact, a truth. If you look at the evidence on my Holocaust conspiracy menu, it's right there that the Holocaust is a big hoax. That's what he said. And he was accused of being an anti-Semite. And he gave a similar response to what this black kid gave. We'll go to the clip.
Jews perished
in Nazi concentration camps, but nothing like that. None of them by a gas chamber. I don't know if you know.
This is not anti-Semitism. What is anti-Semitism?
Anti-Semitism. If anti-Semitism is bad, it's against truth. If something is true, it's not bad. I'm not interested in the word anti-Semitism. I mean, you know, it's the word is very
dangerous.
The bishop
calls you anti-Semitic.
The bishop can call me. He can call me a dinosaur. He can call me an idiot. He can call me what he likes. This is not a question of name calling. This is a question of historical truth. Historical truth goes by evidence and not by emotion. There's certainly been a huge exploitation. Germany has paid out billions and billions of Deutschmarks and now euros because the Germans have a guilt complex about their having gassed 6 million Jews. But I don't think 6 million Jews were gassed. Now, be careful. I beg of you, this is against the law in Germany. If there was a German, somebody that's a German state, you could have me thrown into prison before I leave Germany. I hope that's not your intention.
Yeah, see, very true. And what he's saying, because the Holocaust, even if in their freedom of speech, he should be allowed to voice his opinion, right? But it happens to be true what he's saying. He says, if it's true that there was no Holocaust, then how could this be evil? Why would you want to call that anti-Semitism? So he's making the same statement. Just because I tell you that these Jews, these certain group of Jews are lying about the Holocaust, that I say I hate Jews? Or I hate their race? He never said that. And he said a very good thing here too. He says the anti-Semitism thing is very dangerous. The reason I say it's dangerous is because they intermix race with religion also. When I say I abhor an apostate Jew, why do I abhor him? Not because of his race at all, but because of his false religion. Because he worships a false god, practices a false religion, and is actively fighting against the true God and my religion. It's a religious thing. But Jew nowadays, when you use the word Jew, it's interchangeable. Wait a second, are you talking about the religion or are you talking about the race? And they interchange it to try to make you feel guilty so that you don't talk about a Jew about anything he does. They use that anti-Semitism interchangeably. But what we say is we hate Talmudic Judaism, but we love the Jew as a person. We do. Even though I abhor them at the same time, some I abhor more than others, depending on how evil they are. But I still love them. But I hate your false religion of Talmudic Judaism. I hate your crimes that you commit against and I hate your sins, just like anybody else who commits a sin. And somebody was trying to say to me, you know, why are you picking on the Jews? And I said, I'm picking on the Jews because everybody's unpicking on the Jews. They seem to be the only race in which it's hands off and you can't talk about them. Now, the next clip is going to be from Defamation also of Yoav Shamir. And he's going to introduce John Mearsheimer and Stephen Wall, both college professors, who wrote a book called The Israeli Lobby. And they were criticizing the influence that Israel has on American United States policy. And even when it goes against the United States policy, they dominate. And they're the ones that dictate to the United States what policy should be. And these two college professors were accused of anti-Semites because they were criticizing the Israeli lobby and their over-influence on U.S. policy. We'll go to the clip.
Steve Wald and John Mearsheimer are two academics from the universities of Harvard and Chicago who wrote a book called The Israeli Lobby. They claim that there is a lobby in the US whose role is to support Israeli policy even if this policy goes against the interests of the US. The role of the ADL in this lobby is to silence those who criticize Israeli policy, saying they are actually anti-Semites in disguise.
And you guessed it, who do you think attacked John Mearsheimer and Stephen Walt? The pit bull ADL leader Abraham Foxman. He's got a good name, doesn't he, Foxman? Right? That fox. You go tell that fox that he's an apostate Jew and he needs to believe in Jesus Christ and you better stop lying to people. But anyway, let's see what the Foxman says about John Mearsheimer and Stephen Walt in their book.
Why do two such established credentials respected academics engage in such a shoddy piece of work on what subject?
And now in the next clip, Yoav Shamir interviews John Mearsheimer in Chicago.
I'm heading to Chicago to speak with John Mearsheimer, co-author of The Israeli Lobby. I hope to have the courage to ask him if he is really an anti-Semite in disguise.
And but did you like kind of like took a few minutes to question yourself when you've been blamed as being anti-Semite? Like, did you try to think about it, like, you know, between yourself and yourself, you know, like, I don't know if you have this expression, like within yourself, like, did you take some moment to think maybe some of it was like influenced by something which is, you know, could be interpreted as like anti-Semitism?
No, because I'm not anti-Semitic, and I never had any doubt that I wasn't anti-Semitic, and I just didn't see any need to do this. My arguments are not in any way, shape, or form hostile to Jews or hostile to the State of Israel. And in fact, Steve Walt and I go to great lengths in the books to make in the book and in the article to make the case that we think the lobby's policies are not in Israel's interest or in America's interest. And we believe that the policies that we're pushing and the arguments that we're making are better for Israel and better for the United States. Now, one can disagree with that, but those arguments that we're making are not anti-Semitic, and we're not anti-Semites. Of course, it's almost impossible to prove that you're not an anti-Semite, which is one reason that this charge is so effective. I mean, how does one say, I'm not anti-Semitic, and convince people who say you are?
My best friend is
right, that's what you end up saying, that my best friends are Jews. And some of my best friends are Jews, and of course this is not a very convincing argument. In fact, it's an argument that's almost guaranteed to lose.
So he's making a true point here by saying, for him criticizing some of the Israeli policies and all that, that doesn't mean he hates Jews. And he's making a very good point there. He's showing you how much, once somebody accuses you of that, it sticks. Even in spite of people's rationality and reason goes out the window. And then once you label somebody with that, they don't want to hear any excuses or anything contrary, even in spite of the fact that you can say, did you ever hear him say he hates Jews? When they say that about me, I tell them, read every one of my books. It's public. I don't keep anything secret that I believe in. You tell me if you can find in one of my books, in one of my lectures or audios, that I say I hate Jews. And he doesn't either. He makes one mistake here, though. He says, I support Israel. He's wrong for that. Us Catholics don't support the State of Israel. It's an abomination of desolation in a place where it doesn't belong. And we oppose the whole State of Israel because we know unbelieving Jews have no right to Israel. That's another issue. You can look at my video on that. Jerusalem belongs to the Catholic Church. But nevertheless, he is still making a point. The thing he is doing, which is good, is he's criticizing the Israeli lobby's influence upon United States policy, how it dominates the politicians, and actually is the one that's really in control of it through their powerful influence. Now, the next clip we're going to go to is from an Israeli who invited John Mearsheimer and Steve Walt into Israel. They had a conference with him there. But we're just going to quote, his name is Yuri Avneri. And he's from the Gush Shalom Party, I think it's the Gush Shalom Party. And you're going to go to a clip, and he also is against these false claims of anti-Semitism. And he knows how very dangerous it is and how wrong it is for these Abraham Foxman-type Jews throwing these claims around at people. We'll go to the clip right now.
Walt and Mearsheimer were invited to Israel by Gush Shalom, a left-wing Israeli organization whose head is Uri Avneri, a former parliament member and a peace activist.
אני כבר לא יודע, לא בטוח. אני כבר לא יודע, אני לא יודע מי משרת פה את מי. אנחנו אותם או הם אותנו. אם הם אנחנו מכתיבים להם מדיניות, או שהם, כמו שאמרת קודם, או שהם מכתיבים לנו מדיניות. אף אחד מהם לא לוחם אנטישמיות. הם לוחמים נגד ביקורת על ישראל. זה שני דברים לחלוטין שונים. כמעט שאין אנטישמיות באמריקה, זה אגדה. אין, ממש אין. לו הייתה, זה... גם השתולה הייתה מתנהגת אחרת. אין. תופעה הזו שנקראת אנטישמיות היא קיימת רק בתקשורת הישראלית ועל ידי כל מיני פונקציונרים יהודים בעולם שהם מתפרנסים מזה, שהם לוחמים באנטישמיות. איפה יש אנטישמיות? אין כלום. בעולם ישראל מצבה של היהודים באמריקה, מצבם לא היה כמו היום.
מה, אנטישמיות זה
המצאה ישראלית? המצאה יהודית? אנטישמיות? אנטישמיות היום? מידה רבה כן. כל אחד פוחד מאנטישמיות בגלל הזיכרונות ההיסטוריים, והיהודים מפוחדים תמיד. באמריקה היהודים כמה שהם חזקים וכמה שהם מושלים באמריקה למעשה, הם פוחדים מהצל של עצמם כל רגע, אחרי כל עץ, מסתתי אנטישמי. בולשיט, אין דבר כזה. אנטי ערבים, אנטי מוסלמים, אנטי שחורים, אנטי מה שאתה רוצה. אנטישמים? פשוט אתה צריך זכוכית מגדלת שנמצא אותם, ויש כאלה שהולכים עם זכוכית מגדלת, כמו שרלוק הולמס, ומוצאים אנטישמים.
So there is a perfect truth by this Yuri Avnery, and to Yoav Shamir's credit, he allowed him to give his testimony. He's learning about these things here, and that's what they call it, the new anti-Semitism. It's false. It's a false claim. Now, the next clip we're going to go to is Norman Finkelstein, and he's going to testify against these false claims of anti-Semitism, which he calls the new anti-Semitism. He was a professor at DePaul University until they fired him because he spoke out against Israel's unjust oppression of the Palestinians and other criticisms against Israel. He's even banned from Israel. So we'll go to the clip right now.
Professor Norman Finkelstein, a Jewish academic from DePaul University in Chicago, has written a book called The Holocaust Industry, in which he accuses parts of the Jewish establishment of making cynical political use of the Holocaust.
Dr. Finkelstein, you have some visitors?
Whenever Israel faces a public relations debacle or comes under pressure to resolve the Israel-Palestine conflict, they start up this extravaganza called the new anti-Semitism. As it's usually understood, anti-Semitism means an irrational hatred of Jews born simply of the fact that they are Jewish. But that's not what's going on. Here it's a hostility born of the fact that the state which claims to represent them is engaged in quite brutal violence. I'm sure lots of people I meet have this, what you say, deep down inside, they have this kind of queasy feeling about Jews. I'm sure that's true. But did it have any real substantial repercussions on me in life? The answer is just no. There's a kind of pathological narcissism, navel contemplation. When you are the richest, wealthiest, most successful ethnic group in the United States, you've got the world on a platter, and you sit around and you're talking about anti-Semitism. It's just kind of shameful, I think.
That's right, Norman. It's very shameful. And, well, now the next clip we're going to go to is from Yoav Shamir's defamation, in which he is interviewing Rabbi Hecht. And Rabbi Hecht is another, he's an apostate Jew, but he's less dishonest than Abe Foxman. He recognizes that Abe Foxman is making a business out of this anti-Semitism thing, and he doesn't like it. And he knows, but if you go around and start calling everybody an anti-Semite, anytime they criticize a Jew for anything, you're undermining the criticism against the true anti-Semites who hate Jews because of their race. You're undermining the whole thing. He realizes that too, but he... And to Yoav's credit, too, here, he goes here and interviews Rabbi Hecht. And I'm sure Abraham Foxman didn't like this clip too much. We're going to go to it right now.
I went to talk about the situation with Rabbi Hecht, one of the leaders of the Jewish community and commissioner for human rights.
Even the attack on the school bus, not every time when somebody calls somebody with a name that you're a Jewish so-and-so or you're a black so-and-so, does that mean that I am a racist in heart or an anti-Semite in heart or that I'm doing it only because of anti-Semitism?
If five crimes happen, five blacks against five Jews, it has to be anti-Semitism. Why? Listen, even if the reason why I hit that Jewish kid is because I knew that he's not going to fight back, or the white woman in this neighborhood who's a Jewish woman, I stole her pocketbook because I know it's going to be easy prey. That's not called anti-Semitism. Now, again, you want to put it into some category and lock the guy up for a longer period of time because he saw a weak woman that he grabbed it. But again, I think we have gone a little too far.
Many of the anti-Semitic incidents reported by the ADL happened to Orthodox Jews, since they are the easiest to spot. So I was pretty surprised by Rabbi Hecht's response.
Let me tell you guys. I am suspicious
when a guy makes a living from a particular situation. So if there's a particular film crew that make a living from blood, that's right. I'm suspicious every time they show blood. If a guy is such a created only because of anti-Semitism, I'm nervous about his reports. Are they accurate? He has to create a problem because he needs a job.
So you're saying, like, I mean, the ADL is not like a credible organization, or?
I really can't pass judgment on other organizations, so we'll leave it that way. I'll be politically correct. But listen, clearly the ADL has been responsible in certain areas to flare up things as much as they've helped. Now, of course, having said that, now I'm on the ADL's blacklist now, so Mr. Foxman is not going to come to my home for dinner, but what should I tell you?
In the next clip from The Protocols of Zion by Mark Levin, Mark records a statement from Mahathir, who was the Prime Minister of Malaysia, and Mahathir speaks about how the Jews dominate the world, they control the world. And of course, Abe Foxman picks up on this, and he attacks Mahathir as an anti-Semite for making his statement. We'll go to the clip.
The problem is no longer the lunatic fringe. The problem is a guy like Mahathir, the probably the most successful, quote-unquote, moderate Muslim leader in the last quarter of a century. His speech essentially was a ripoff of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
But today the Jews rule this world by proxy. They get others to fight and die for them. They invented socialism, communism, human rights, and democracy so that persecuting them would appear to be wrong, so they may enjoy equal rights with others. With these, they have now gained control of the most powerful countries, and they, this tiny community, have become a world power.
Mahathir, who for the first time in 60 years raises the level of anti-Semitism, here is a head of state, believing that the door is wide open, that he can stand up in front of the international community and say what Hitler said.
What did he say? What did he say? He said the Jews control the world. Yeah, Hitler said that too, and he was right. Did he say he hates Jews? Does he say he hates the whole race of Jews? What did he say? He told the truth. He told the truth. And there goes the big fat mouth of Abe Foxman again, the pit bull going after him, right? And you say, what did he say, Abe? And even if Abe didn't agree with him, somebody doesn't know your history, or they're not very versed, and they go, dude, I don't know if the Jews control the world or not, they would still say that doesn't equate to hating Jews or hating their race, all right? We're now going to go to a clip from Defamation by Yoav Shamir, where he interviews Norman Finkelstein. And Norman talks about the illegal occupation of the Israelis, illegally occupying Palestinian territory, building settlements on their territory, committing war crimes by killing the Palestinians unjustly, which is against international law. And he talks about how every time the Israelis do that, they use their false claims of anti-Semitism as an excuse to fight against the Palestinians. And they bring in Hitler and anti-Semitism. And then they go and do what they accused Hitler of doing. And, of course, Norman got accused of being an anti-Semite himself for his testimonies and banished from Israel. Go to the clip.
I want to ask you a question. Look over here. Do you see a Holocaust coming? It's crazy. There's so much hunger, so much starvation in the world. So many people are suffering. And you want me to get excited about some idiot painting a swastika somewhere?
Finkelstein lost his job at the university because of what he claims was pressure from the Israeli lobby. Then he was denied entry to Israel because he was, as the authorities described, a security hazard, which being Jewish himself is probably unprecedented. Finkelstein reminds me of the biblical prophets of doom, who were always being pelted with stones for saying things nobody wanted to hear.
One of the major kind of claims I hear from people like the ADL or, you know, other Jewish people is that, like,
How come always people picking up on Israel? How come there are so much, you know, injustice, mm-hmm. you know, in other parts of the world and nobody speaks about, you know? What is the reason for that?
I think people, listen, I open the radio, I hear nonstop about Sudan. I hear nonstop about Tibet. I hear nonstop about Darfur. I hear a lot. The only place I hear excuses made for is Israel. That's the place where I hear excuses. And we do have to remember, it is the oldest occupation in the world. I mean, 40 years really is enough. It's older than you. It's older than you, the occupation. Doesn't that kind of stun you? The irony is that the Nazi Holocaust has now become the main ideological weapon for launching wars of aggression. Every time you want to launch a war of aggression, drag in the Nazi Holocaust. It's the suffering then used as another pretext or excuse to humiliate, degrade, and torture the Palestinians. That's the problem. The suffering comes as a package. It then comes, here is the suffering, now we blow up your house. Here is the suffering, now we take your land. Here is the suffering, now we drop artillery shell or shoot artillery shells at your villages. It's a package deal with Israel and its American supporters. It's not just suffering. It's suffering which is then wrapped in a club. And the club is then used to break the skulls of the Palestinians. That's the problem. It's not being used to educate people. It's not being used to enlighten people. It's not being used to make people more moral.
It can be.
But it's not.
I mean,
it's not. That's the whole point. Of course it can be, but it isn't. It's the best thing that will ever happen to Israel if they get rid of these American Jews who are warmongers from Martha's Vineyard. And they're warmongers from the Hamptons. And they're warmongers from Beverly Hills. And they're warmongers from Miami. It's been a disaster for Israel. You know, it's the best thing if they can ever get rid of this American Jewry. It's a curse.
For Finkelstein, Foxman is the main enemy.
You see? That's why you're not going to get like people's attention, you know, for things like that.
Some people laugh.
You're comparing Foxman to Hitler. That's kind of...
It's an insult to Hitler. Hitler at least didn't do it for money.
Finkelstein took his own trauma as the son of Holocaust survivors to the opposite extreme. When I asked him if he had any sympathy for the Israeli victims as well as for the Palestinians, he compared Israeli casualties to the German casualties in World War II.
You know, you're funny. I have to tell you, you're funny. What's you come that? From a society in which everyone calls everyone a Nazi, right? They call Rabin a Nazi, Ben-Gurion called Jabotinsky a Nazi, Jabotinsky called Ben-Gurion a Nazi, Begin called Ben-Gurion a Nazi. They all said, each of them said, one is worse than Hitler. That's the whole language of your society. It's also the language I grew up with. You know, everything in my house, the food, worse than Auschwitz. The clothes, worse than that. That's the house you grow up in. And all of a sudden, you get so pious when they go like that. Your whole society is like that. Why was Rabin? You don't remember when they made Rabin with the SS before he was shot? And then you all of a sudden get so pious.
I just think about like how people...
Because of what? Because of Abe Foxman? We have to be pious with Abe Foxman? A hoodlum and a thug?
I'm just trying to see, to think how other people will perceive it, you know. For myself, you know, you can go and do it all day long, you know.
I did it with you. You're an Israeli.
Yeah,
you
but
understand.
It's on film, you know. It's on film, you know. Other people will see it afterwards.
Then take it out! That's why you're an editor.
No, that's obviously, you know, should stay in the film, you know.
I'm fine! You think I care? You think I care?
And to Yoav Shamir's credit, he kept it in. And you're getting the truth. This is truth, what Norman said here. It is the truth. And you can imagine Jews like him growing up in a household of hearing about Nazis, hearing about the Holocaust, hearing about Auschwitz, finally wanting to vomit it all out and say, I hope Hitler comes back from the dead, has another Holocaust, and burns all your asses, because I'm sick and tired of hearing about Auschwitz and the Holocaust and the Nazis. You know, the fact that it didn't happen is another issue, but it didn't. That's another big lie. But this whole thing they're bringing down upon themselves, it's a curse to their own people. Can you imagine how sick and tired some of these kids must be, growing up in a family, listening to this stuff all the time and never letting it go? We're going to get into that later on about how this brainwashing of the Holocaust affects people. But you see what happened affects the Jews themselves. It hurts the Jews, even themselves. And of course, Norman Finkelstein was banned from Israel because of his truthful statements. Now, we have another apostate Jew who has some goodwill. His name was David Hirsch. And he also was condemning Israel for their crimes against the Palestinians and their oppression, and they're not allowing the Palestinians to have their own state. And this took place at a global conference in which I think they were talking about anti-Semitism in Israel. And he was one of the only voices that spoke out against this. Everybody else was like supporting Israel and not even talking about the Palestinians at all. So Yoav Shamir was at this particular conference. And this guy, David Hirsch, after he spoke up, he got attacked by all the Jews at that conference who were like 100% pro-Zionist without supporting the Palestinian state at all. Now, they a lot of them pay lip service to the Palestinian state, but a lot of them don't really want it. They just want a Jewish state, period. And now you could say, I want a two-state solution, but as long as you keep knocking the Palestinians out and building settlements and keep pushing them further and further out, you don't want a Palestinian state. Well, anyway, you're going to see this David Hirsch, what happened to him when he spoke a truth at this particular conference.
In the Foreign Office in Israel, there was a three-day convention dealing mostly with the issues raised in the book The Israeli Lobby. Never before had the question of whether anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism are the same thing seemed so important. Experts and speakers from all over the world said the same thing, that those who attack Israel are doing so simply because they are anti-Semites in disguise. After 3 days, something happened which was more or less the equivalent of a bomb being thrown into the room.
If you came down from space, you would think, having looked at this conference, that there was absolutely no problem in the West Bank or in Gaza. One element of the reason why so many people around the world are angry with Israel is because of the continuing settlement and occupation of Palestinian land. And because Israel, which has state power, has not done enough to end the occupation. One of the reasons. Such an occupation cannot be sustained without racism, without violence, and without humiliation against the people who are occupied. Thank you.
I don't get it. I just don't get it unless you were ironic.
David,
yes.
We appreciate your work. We invited you to speak.
Yes.
But what you did today was a kind of a preaching about looking for human rights that we don't have. This is more or less what you said.
There are problems with human rights in the territory.
We don't say
it's insinuative.
What do you say?
No, I choose to say something which has not yet been said by everybody.
Just
it's
for
very
the provocation?
Simple. No, not for the provocation, because Palestine was not mentioned in this conference.
It was mentioned over.
Once, maybe by Gil.
It was mentioned over.
It was mentioned yesterday as Palestine is the anti-nation. Palestine is the one unique nation which doesn't have the right to exist. It was mentioned.
No one said that.
Come on.
No one said that.
Gerstenfeld said it. Palestine is the anti-nation. What do you think that means? And where do you think that terminology comes from, the anti-nation?
What you were saying is that anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism are two different things.
They are two different things.
No, sometimes they are the same thing.
And it's kind of ironic, really, that I was seen by some people as a sort of wild-eyed radical, because where I come from, I'm denounced as a right-wing, neocon,
Israeli supporting anti-Palestinian racist.
What does it say about this conference then?
Well, it says about this conference that there were some hard right-wingers there. There you go.
Nobody in this conference was balanced, not one.
I don't think so.
Speaking with David Hirsch made me realize that it is very difficult to represent any other approach in the Jewish world. Those who try to say anything different are being silenced.
And Dina has a go at me for not being balanced.
You're hinted too much. You were not explicit enough.
Should have modified what I meant.
Hirsch was right. The occupation as a possible reason for justified criticism was not mentioned.
And here's another very good statement by Yoav Shamir, who is honest to say that they didn't mention he is right. There's something going on here that's wrong, that anytime somebody tries to criticize Israel for some unjust treatment against the Palestinians, he's accused of being an anti-Semite. And so very correct what he said here. And he brought up another important point, that he says you get silenced the minute you open up your mouth and try to make any type of criticism. They'll shut you right down. They'll obstruct you. They'll fire you from your job. They'll shout you down if you're giving a speech. They'll pull the plug on a mic. All these kinds of things happen, this obstruction, because they don't want you to even talk about it, which even goes against their, well, we don't support democracies, but it goes against their principle of freedom of speech, right? Let me speak. If you don't agree with it, refute me. They don't even let you speak. They shut you down right away. This was one of the biggest things I noticed when I was coming into the Catholic Church years ago and God called me right in the very beginning and I started to talk against the Jews. I got attacked so viciously, not just by people, but by even devils from hell, physically attacked, pushed around, beat up every time I started talking about the Jews by devils from hell. Why would devils, shows you how the devils are working for the Jews. They're defending the Jewish cause. One time when I was talking about I got pushed clear across the bathroom by devils, no one in the room, but pushed body right across the room. And I said to the devil, you better kill me, because if you don't, I'm going to expose you. I'm going to come up and I'm going to expose you, and I'm going to talk 10 more times now about the Jews, so you better kill me, and if you don't, I'm going to expose you. Now, that wasn't 100% accurate statement. He can't kill me unless God lets him. But if God lets him, he can kill me just like that. Sort of, that's what I was getting at. And I got so angry at him because every time I started to talk about Jews, he would beat me up and punch me and throw me around. This is the devil. Forget about human beings. Then when I started to get out in the public arena and preaching about it, the humans were attacking me, shutting me down, shutting me up, keep your mouth shut. I spoke about it before in the Fear of the Jews when Father Ashley, and they said the Jews killed Christ. If they don't believe in Jesus, they can't be saved. Oh, here you go again, talking about the Jews in hell all the time. Everybody, the meeting's over. Everybody go home. He shut me down. I got shut down so many times, and I would try to shout over them, but once they shut you down, everybody's walking out, and they start screaming louder than you do, so no one's listening anymore. They shout you down, and they obstruct you. And this is another point we're going to show you here. This comedian, who is also a political commentator, Jon Stewart, had a very good clip on this. He has some good things, too, that he comes out with, because he also has a little bit of more goodwill than some of the other people, because he does produce certain things about Israel that aren't right. I think he opposes a lot of these unjust treatments of the Palestinians in Israel. So he had a clip where he's talking about anytime you try to go up and talk against Israel something, they shout you down, they obstruct you, and they shut you up. Here we go to the clip.
Then in fact, we'll start tonight in the Middle East, where Israel...
What? Israel isn't supposed to defend itself?
Oh, yeah, if Mexico bombed Texas, will we exercise
restraint? What other country is held to the same standard as Israel?
People that want to destroy our terrorism?
It's a 4,000-year plan.
What's the only democracy in the Middle East, you say?
Self-hating Jew?
That was weird. Anyway, what I was saying was last Thursday saw the start of a new ground offensive launched by Israel.
Oh, Hamas is a civilian!
Tradition! Tradition!
Um, Look, obviously there are many strong opinions on this issue, but just merely mentioning Israel or questioning in any way the effectiveness or humanity of Israel's policies is not the same thing as being pro-Hamas.
So you're against murder children?
Free Gaza! Free Palestine!
Zionist pig!
You know what? Why don't we just talk about something lighter, like Ukraine?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
That is so true. It happens just like that, too. And if there's no humans around, then the devil's going to get you with it, too. He'll even attack you, threaten me in dreams, even, you know, when you talk against the Jews. That's the number one top issue that he comes at you with, because, as I said before, the Talmudic Jews, especially, they're the ones that are the main bad guys that are bringing the Antichrist to power. You know, they're at the top of the pyramid of evil. And so this is what's happening here. Whenever you try to criticize them, you get attacked or you get accused of being a self-hating Jew. However, every now and then, God does not allow the devil to obstruct a truth about the apostate Jews in order that the crimes may be manifest. One such example is a newscast that was interviewing a Patricia McAllister, in which the newscast allowed her to express her truthful statement that apostate Jews control the banks, they control the monies, the economies of the world, and the Federal Reserve Bank, they own it, and that they bring corruption and destruction to the world. They allowed her to state this truth on the newscast. And also during the newscast, this is which they allowed to go on here, after she was unstating her opinion, the guy that was in the newsroom came out and said, boy, she has a lot of hate in her. But the lady who was interviewing Patricia McAllister said, no, she says, I don't hate anyone. It's not about hate. She says, I'm just stating a fact. They all allowed this on this newscast. And then after the newscast was all over, the camera was still rolling. And we have a clip of it. And there's the camera lady who was filming it said, why did you let her on there? Why did you let her speak? In other words, why did you not obstruct her? So here's a case where God allowed the truth to come out, and he let it get out onto TV. But you can see, if it was up to this woman on the news camera, she would have not allowed this statement to be made public on the newscast. We'll go to the clip right now.
I think that the Zionist Jews who are running these big banks in our Federal Reserve, which is not run by the federal government, they need to be run out of this country.
Okay, that woman identified herself as an employee of the LA Unified School District, and right now she is in fact outside the LAUSD headquarters. She's taking part in an Occupy LA rally, and Susan Hirasuna found her. Susan.
Yeah, behind me, Jeff, is the Occupy LAUSD protest. They marched from City Hall. But I want to point out that also with me is Patricia McMillan, who you identified as a McAllister, I beg your pardon, who you identified as a LAUSD employee, but that is not the case at all because she was just fired. Tell me about it.
Yes. The YouTube video went up on YouTube this Saturday, and on it I...
You ran your comments. Were those comments the reason why you were fired, Patricia?
Yes. I had job assignments with LAUSD. All of that has been cut. They called me. They cut the assignment the following Monday, and they called me in today, and I was in the office less than 45 seconds. He told me I was fired. I no longer had a job with LAUSD.
Did he give you any reason why?
No reason why, and he put me out within 45 seconds. No reason. He told me if I didn't like it, go to see John DC, the superintendent.
And have you had an opportunity to talk to the superintendent?
No, I had not an appointment. I didn't have an appointment, so I didn't go up there.
So what is your response to the fact that you were fired, and you presume because of your comments that you made over the weekend?
Yes, the comments I made about the Zionist Jews being run out of the country because they are printing our money, and they own the Federal Reserve Bank, which Congress has nothing to do with. I did it outside of work. I was not working at the time. I think that my First Amendment right of freedom of speech has been violated.
And you're standing here with this sign, so you're certainly not backing away from the comments that you made today or the other day.
No, I'm not. I think Americans need to stand up. The word Jew is similar to communism today, being a communist. I think that we should be able to tell the truth about what the Jews are doing to this nation, the Zionist Jews, how they control the money system, how they control the markets and everything else. If we don't stand out, Jews have been run out of 109 countries throughout history, and we need to run them out of this one. We need to get on top of Wall Street and get those Jews out of this country.
Yes, Susan. Jeff? Well, I'll tell you, Patricia McAllister makes Mel Gibson seem like Mr. Rogers.
She has very strong feelings.
Yeah, she has a lot of hate pent up in her. Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of time we spend on her.
All right. Quite the contrary. She says she does not hate anybody. She's just pointing out what she calls a fact.
Yeah, all right. Well, misguided as it may be. All right, thank you, Susan. Appreciate it. All right, Liz?
Seriously, why would we even give her the mic? I mean, really, Jeff, why would we let her talk like that? That's what why would we let her go on? We got it. Yeah, okay.
We're going to see the differences between types of Jews in this next clip that we're coming up with. We're going to look at a group of Jews from New York area. A lot of them are living. They're called Naturi Karta Jews. And they're anti-Zionist. They're against the current state of Israel. These Jews seem to be of much better will than the other Jews that are Zionists. I see them as having quite a bit of goodwill. And I think that these are the type of Jews we're going to probably get quite a few conversions from. At least that's my hope. They believe that they're being punished by God because they've sinned against God. They're in exile. And this is something that the other Jews, you can't even talk about it. No Jew does evil. Nostra Aetate, the nominal Catholics in Vatican said all Jews are good. All these other Jews, all Jews are good. No Jew is evil. Well, this group of Jews admits that there are evil Jews. And they admit that these Zionist Jews are evil because of their methods and means of coming to power about lying and stealing and murdering. And so there's a conflict between these Naturi Karta Jews that don't believe Israel has a right to occupy Israel right now. What their belief is, they believe when their Christ comes, who's also going to be the Antichrist, would be the Antichrist, is going to take over Israel, and that's when they're going to occupy it. But nevertheless, they're opposing these current-day Jews who are in Israel and their means and methods, and they don't agree with one another. They fight and they go back and forth, and they accuse each one another of being, the Naturi Karta Jews accuse the other Jews of being criminals and evil, and the other Jews accuse them of being self-hating Jews. Or they would call them anti-Semites. But it's very interesting to know how many different types of Jews are out there. There's a lot of divisions and schisms among the Jews. You're going to see this in this one clip. But the point I'm going to make in this clip also is this particular group of Jews was protesting, I guess, against some pro-Israeli parade or something that was going on in New York. And so these Naturi Karta Jews were protesting against it. And he was talking about it, how bad these evil Jews are, and he got obstructed. A secular Zionist Jew came in, and you're going to watch the nature of this Zionist Jew, how nasty he is, and try to shut him up and attack him so he wouldn't speak. We're going to go to the clip right now.
My name is Rabbi Chaim Lefkowitz, and I'm coming from New York, Rockland County. We came here with many Jews, rabbinical leaders, Talmudical scholars, to state the true voice of Judaism, that it's hardly heard throughout the world in these days. The reason for it is very clear for people who know and unclear for people who don't know. Unfortunately, after the so-called Holocaust, most of our rabbinical leaders got perished in the war. And the Zionist leaders, they took over the power of the name, of the true name of the Jewish people. When in fact, Zionism in basic is an atheistic, nationalistic movement extremely opposed to the basic faith of Judaism. Especially the way how Jews need to behave in exile. We are a nation in exile already 2,000 years.
Speak for Jews?
Never.
Zerim, they're bastards. Why
don't you cover your head?
Your bones should
speak like a Zionist. You speak like a Zionist. You curse like a Zionist.
You should, all of you. You're fools. You're idiots. What do you think you are? You're like little clowns.
If you're God
clowns that they tried out here to show that even the Jews want it. But you're not Jews. You're anti-Semite bastards. That's what you are. Every one of you. Now, these people have a perfect right to be out here. They have a perfect right to be out here. They have a cause. They have something they want to say, and they have a perfect right to say it. But you're here.
You speak like Sharon.
You speak like Sharon.
You curse like a Zionist.
Get out of here. You're an idiot. That's what you are.
These are idiots.
These people are fools.
You want these people are clowns who have been taken out.
I represent.
Who do you represent?
The jury.
You don't represent
jewelry.
You absolutely don't represent jewelry.
Why don't you cover your head if you are
God? You're fools.
If you are God,
why
don't you cover your head?
You're anti-Semite bastards.
You are a perfect example of a Zionist. Non-God fearing and
yes, I'm Jewish.
What mean a Jew?
I don't wear tzitzis. There are different kind of Jews. Not every Jew wears tzitzis. Get that thing off me, you idiot. You morons. You deserve to die, and your children should piss on your bones. They go unburied forever.
You speak like a Zionist. You see, what you saw here is a very perfect example of what's going on in these days. You see, like a fellow without his religious faith on him, just calling himself a Jew, and when true Jews hear rabbinical leaders and Torah scholars are trying to say a true Jewish word, we got obstructed immediately. And that's what happens over.
And these notorious cartel Jews, I think when they protest also over in Israel, they beat them with clubs and they persecute them. But here's an example of a Jew accusing them of being anti-Semites. Well, what does anti-Semite mean? Well, it can't be against the Jewish race. It's not. The new anti-Semitism is that anytime you criticize an evil Jew for something that he's done, a crime or a sin he's committed, they accuse you of anti-Semitism. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.